Now that we can see the 7-year period defined, let's deal with what happens first. Now this Antichrist, going back to Daniel chapter 9, this Antichrist, this ruler who will come, comes on the scene, and he does so by confirming the covenant with many. Now many have made the mistake in thinking that him confirming this covenant with many is about him making a peace treaty. That's what it concerns. Him making a peace treaty with Israel. This is the reason so many people have looked at people like Sadat and people like Menachem Begin and others, and Jimmy Carter and others who have brokered a peace deal with Israel. They also looked at even Yasser Arafat when he made this peace deal sometime later, land for peace. And they've been looking at for somebody to make a treaty with the Jews in this way in order to see this prophecy fulfilled, him confirming the covenant with many. But it doesn't say a covenant, and it doesn't say a peace treaty. The covenant, him confirming the covenant with many, the covenant is the law. How many of you know that? When we're speaking of Daniel and his holy people, and God's holy hill, and Jerusalem, the covenant we're looking for him to confirm is the covenant, the law. How many of you know this? This is what we're talking about. He will confirm the covenant with many. Did y'all know that? Now, how is he going to confirm this covenant? Right. How is he going to confirm this covenant? Well, let's read on what happens. Remember now, right now, sitting over there in Israel, well, there's a difference in how we as Christians will know and how the world will know. Yeah, the building of the temple. Right now, sitting over there on the Temple Mount, God's holy hill. Remember what Daniel was praying about. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and making my request to Lord my God for His holy hill, that's Mount Moriah, isn't it? Where the temple's built. I want you to see from start to finish that this 77s has very much to do with the temple. All right? It tells us, as we go into these 77s, no one understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there'll be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off. And we've seen that happen. Jesus was put to death. The anointed one will be cut off and have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now the sanctuary is speaking of the temple. The people of the ruler who will come. Well, let's lay down some understanding right here. Rome, remember when we're talking about the kingdom of Antichrist, like when we were studying in Daniel 7, how many of you remember? The little horn, the Antichrist, comes out of that kingdom of Rome. Right? That beast, that great beast who stamped with the 10 horns, who stamped the residue of all the beasts before it. And we've seen the translation of this, that it is Rome. We've seen the interpretation of this right here from Daniel 7 and 8. That is Rome. And the little horn comes out of Rome, speaking blasphemous things. This Antichrist. We've seen from the in Daniel chapter 2, when we see the image of this beast with Nebuchadnezzar's head, right, the head of gold and the arms and the arms and shoulders of and chest of silver, and the belly of brass, belly and thighs of brass, and the legs of iron, which was Rome, and then the feet of iron mixed with clay, which is Rome revived. So this guy that's coming, this Antichrist, those are his people, Rome. Those are his people. So the people of the ruler who shall come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. You see that? And they did, didn't they? In 70 AD, Rome destroyed Jerusalem and the sanctuary, the temple, didn't they? Now, again, you see how much of these 77s have to do with the temple and the Temple Mount.
All right, Rome destroyed the... They are the people of this ruler who will come. All right, war will continue to the end and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1-7. In the middle of the 7, he'll put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on a wing of the temple, he'll set up the abomination that causes desolation.
So he's going to set up in the temple in the middle of the 7-year period, in the middle of the 7 years, he's going to set up the abomination of desolation, where he fulfills 2 Thessalonians 2 and takes his seat in the temple and proclaims himself to be God. Now, the temple has been destroyed, and what's sitting over there right now is the Dome of the Rock of the Muslims. Can you see that this covenant that he establishes with many is the covenant? And the covenant is about the sacrifices starting again. And we're going to talk about this in depth here in just a second. But the covenant is about the sacrifices starting again. They need to build a temple to have the covenant running, don't they? How many of you see that? So the covenant he confirms with them is going to concern rebuilding that temple. It has to. It has to. For him to confirm the covenant with many, they have to have a temple. And this explains why he waits for 3.5 years. He waits for him to get it mostly built, doesn't he? Before he takes a seat in it and proclaims himself to be God. So he does this covenant for them to build the temple and enables them to build the temple, and this is why they accept him so much. And then he takes a seat in it and betrays them. Right.
Well, let's look at what happens. I want to go now to Matthew 24. Because Jesus himself confirms all this in Matthew 24. Now, when we get to the specifics of all the things that Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24 concerning the end, the specifics start with the abomination of desolation. He says, so, verse 15, when you see standing in the holy place, and that's where the temple sits, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken through the prophet Daniel, direct reference to Daniel 9:27, right? Let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let no one on the roof of his house go down to get anything out of his house, and let no one in the field go back to get his cloak, and how dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be a great distress, a great tribulation, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. So you can see the abomination of desolation is what starts the great tribulation. And, you know, in the middle of this 7-year covenant, he takes a seat in the temple, proclaims himself to be God, and this starts the great tribulation. And all those Jews who were backing him, because he was backing them, in order to start their covenant, he betrays. Now, this is exactly, if you'll remember, this is exactly what happens. Remember when we told you before that Jerusalem is the great harlot. She is the city that rules over the kings of the earth. And she rides on the back of this beast to her power. But then he betrays her, doesn't he? God has put it in his heart to do this. And those 10 nations that are with him, those 10 horns. Right? And she's delivered, just like Jezebel was delivered over to be eaten of the dogs and thrown down. She's delivered over into his hand. Right? He makes a covenant with her and then betrays her. How many of you can see that? He makes a covenant with Jerusalem and betrays her. And that's why they're told to flee when they see all this happening. Flee. Because then begins the greatest tribulation man will ever see, when you see the abomination of desolation. Now notice from what Jesus said here. Compare it with Daniel 9. Daniel talks about a 7-year covenant, and in the midst of this covenant, the abomination of desolation. Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation, this begins the great tribulation. So the great tribulation happens in the middle of this 7-year covenant. And the covenant he established for them,
See, for them to have this covenant, for them to work in this covenant, they had to be rebuild the temple. They have to. Absolutely have to have the sacrifices and offerings. Right? Well, now I want to draw your attention to something else that's equally important to what we've been talking about here. After all of these things happen, Jesus explains himself in Matthew 24. All right. After he talks about his second coming, right? After he gathers elect from the four winds, he says this. Verse 32. Now learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, his coming, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. And that generation is the generation of the abomination of desolation. That will not pass away until all these things have happened. Now, when he said the fig tree blooming, it's not referring to Israel becoming a nation as people have done guessing games. This has nothing to do with 1948. This has to do with when they start their covenant. See, the whole idea of the fig tree goes back to when Jesus cursed the fig tree. How many of you remember that story? Jesus was walking along and he saw a fig tree. And he went looking for figs, but it wasn't the time for figs. And he got there and he looked through this tree's leaves and there was no figs, and so he cursed it. And he said, "May no one ever eat of your fruit again." Even though it wasn't the time for figs. And this is the point. Israel is the fig tree. And they are depending on times and seasons, the law. Get it? They're depending upon the law when they plant and when they sow. Through faith, we're commanded to bear fruit in season and out of season, aren't we? They were looking for a season. How many of you can see that? They were living by self-justification, the law. And Jesus cursed that fig tree because anyone who's under the law is under a curse. So you can see that this is about the fig tree blooming. It's about Israel starting that path of self-justification again according to the covenant. So when you see the fig tree blooming, them going back to the covenant, then this rebuilt temple, then you know the end is near, don't you? And that generation that does that will not pass away till all these things have been done. That's what the fig tree blooming is about. It's about them going back to this covenant. Because Jesus already said, "May no one ever eat of your fruit again." And when they get it all set up, it's going to be quenched through the Antichrist. He's going to take his seat in that temple and proclaim himself to be God. He's going to turn on them after confirming their covenant. And they get their temple most of the way done. He's going to take his seat in the middle of the 7 years. He will break that covenant that he confirmed with them and set himself up as the Antichrist. How many of you can see the comparison here?